I had a million dollars.
If I had a million dollars.
Well, I'd buy you a K-car.
A nice Reliant.
I love this song.
And if I had a million dollars, I'd buy your love.
141 WGN. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Ave.
If I had a million dollars,
I'd build a tree fort in our yard.
And aside from the fact that I like that song, the guy who's sitting next to us now has $1 million, and that's why he is in our studio. His name is Grant Sabatier. He is a 30-year-old, now 32-year-old, right?
32-year-old,
32.
Yep.
I want to read you the first paragraph of a story about you in the Chicago Tribune the other day. It said, a few years after graduating from college, Grant Sabatier was unemployed, broke, and living with his parents, hungry for a burrito one afternoon. The 20-something checked his account balance and learned he had $2.26 in the bank. The low point served as a wake-up call. You said, I never wanted to feel that way again. That sounds apocryphal. Is that true?
Yeah, it's totally true. It's actually that day I took a screenshot of my bank account, and it's still hanging in my closet to this day.
Really?
You can see, yeah, it was kind of the motivation.
But you know, that's funny because I got a son who's in his 20s. He's got about $2 in his account.
Yeah.
And it's not scaring the hell out of him. I mean, it's, and a lot of people do. Why was that so epiphanous to you?
Yeah, I think so. I had had a few jobs before this moment happened. So I'd been laid off from a job. I'd saved a little money. I spent it all. And I quickly realized, hey, you know, I'm 24 years old. How am I ever going to get ahead? Right. And I'm a smart guy. And I thought, you know, if I can really just put all this energy that I'm putting into being 24, going out, going to shows, if I can focus it on my future and really try to hack money, you know, my life is going to be a lot better for it. So,
do you have a college degree?
I do. So actually, I went to the University of Chicago.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
No, but I was a philosophy major, right?
So oh, that really explains nothing.
Anything.
Are you serious?
About money. I was, yeah.
They should be prosecuted for fraud. Colleges that hand out philosophy degrees should not hand out philosophy degrees.
No, I don't know, man. It taught me, really taught me how to think. You
Pardon
know?
Me, that was unkind to
of
you,
course,
wasn't it?
Of
and
course.
You're winning, so shut my mouth. But it just seems to me like if you're going to a place that costs $60,000 a year and you have a degree in philosophy, how do you translate that, right?
Yeah, so I was actually fortunate. I played soccer at the University of Chicago, and they can't give athletic scholarships, but I got a bunch of academic money. So it actually didn't end up costing me. I graduated with a little bit of student debt. So I was kind of, I wouldn't have gone to the UFC if I had to pay for it myself.
So you have your degree in philosophy from the UFC. You've got $2.26 in your account. You think, this sucks. I got to change my ways.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people really misunderstand money. They view it as kind of a singular concept. But when you view it as more holistic. And so I really approached money like I did philosophy. And I looked at sort of, what are my attitudes about money? What's my mindset? How do I think about it? And then I devised a really pretty systematic process in order to make more money, save more money, and ultimately at the end of the day, you know, give me more opportunities.
How long did it take you to get from $2 to $1 million?
5 years and 2 months.
And what was the highest paying job you had in that time?
Yeah, so actually during that time, the highest paying job I had was around $50,000, but a vast majority of the income that I earned was through my side hustles, right? So I'm in digital marketing, and I started digital marketing at a time where not a lot of people were doing it.
You were building websites.
I was building
people.
Websites. I was launching Google AdWords.
What do you get
campaigns.
Paid? What do you get paid for building a website?
So the first website was actually for a law firm not too far from here that I did, and I got $500. And then within 3 months, I went from making $500 per website to $50,000. So I got introduced through this network of attorneys and got bigger and bigger law firm clients. And really, I used the same template for each of them.
But it also sounded like you were doing things that were rather rudimentary, too. Weren't you parking cars or just doing some basic stuff, too?
Yeah. So I approached, at that time when I had $2.26, I was like, what are the things that I can do to make money? And I started looking at every life opportunity as a way to make money. So when I still wanted to go to concerts, but instead of just buying one ticket, I'd buy 6 tickets and try to flip them.
So at some points, you had 3 jobs working at one time.
Oh, no. I was probably doing 7 or 8 different things at one time. Trying into, I was flipping Volkswagen camper vans. I was selling mopeds. I was, you know, building websites. I was selling concert tickets. I was selling and flipping things on eBay. I was just doing a bunch of things.
With the singular goal of getting to $1 million?
No, with really the goal of just trying to invest as much money as possible. So when I stopped taking a spending and saving mindset and really took on an investing mindset, I knew that being young was my biggest asset. And I knew that the market had recently been at the bottom, the stock market, and that there was a high likelihood that the market would recover. And so I tried to get as much money into the market as possible, as quickly as possible.
So you were in equities then?
Totally, yeah.
Mutual funds, or were you buying individual stocks?
No, a vast majority of it was in index funds, right? So the money that I put in basically at this beginning, every dollar I put in back then has tripled in value just in a pure Vanguard market index fund.
Sure.
I also aggressively bought Amazon stock because I was like, Amazon, everything's going to change. So I put probably 80% in index funds and then about 20% directly in Amazon.
And the market went from about 7 to about 21.
Correct. Yep. So I was able to really
I
use that.
I should have thought of that.
I was able to use it to my advantage, honestly. And I think a lot of people, I always say that, you know, you should freelance or side hustle to get money to invest as opposed to spend.
But I think that the sort of, one of the takeaways from your story to me was that if you just singularly focus on it, if you say, this is what I'm going to do today, and that includes not just only earning the money, but saving the money. You know, I think about that. Like a house costs $300,000. Plenty of people make $100,000 a year, but it will take them 30 years to pay off that house. And that has been a head scratcher for me, because you think in 3 years they pay you the cost of the house. Now, I know you got to eat and you don't get all that. You got to pay taxes. But if you think about that, you're getting a lot of the cost of the home every year. If you could find a way just to save a bunch of that, you may have to live in your parents' basement. You could own that home in a lot less than 30 years.
Yeah, totally. But sometimes, so I actually live here in downtown Chicago. I still have a mortgage, even though I could pay it off super easily. I have a 2.625% mortgage, and I basically have generated so far about an 8.2% return so far.
You're better
year.
Off with the
yeah,
mortgage.
Yeah, better off, actually.
But did you ever live in your parents' basement, or was somebody fronting costs for you so you could save money?
So I only lived in my parents' house when I didn't have an income. So once I actually got a job, I moved out on my own. I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. So during kind of my job hunt and my teaching myself digital marketing and doing a little freelancing, I lived at home. But I didn't like live at home and save up a bunch of money and then go out into the world.
Grant Sabatier is in our studio. He's 32 now, but it was in his 20s when he thought, I got $2 in my account and I don't like this. You heard him say he's a graduate of the University of Chicago in philosophy and took a philosophical approach to this. Now what are you worth?
Oh, gosh. So they just did a story a couple weeks ago. I have 1.345 million in my Vanguard liquid account. I own two properties in Chicago, and I have a number of other investments and companies that are worth far beyond that. So my actual net worth is more in kind of the 2.53 range. And that $1 million goal was actually liquid cash, right? So it was just having actual investable liquid, not my other assets.
There was one thing in the story we haven't touched on yet that I thought was a red flag about you. I wonder if you see it the same way in a minute. At almost 1:53, we just have four or five more minutes with our guest. There was a story about him in the Tribune the other day. You may have seen his story on, I think it was MSNBC. Did they do a story on you?
CNBC,
CNBC
Washington
did?
Post.
And is somebody else running a story on you tomorrow or this weekend?
Yeah, so I'll be in the Sunday business section of the Washington Post.
I've heard of them. So his story is that at the age of 20-something, he thought, I have too little money. This is ridiculous. Set about a goal of making a lot of money, $1 million in cash. You have that in liquid assets. And now at 32, you own a couple of companies, you have multiple properties, and by golly, he did it. In the story about you in the Tribune, it mentioned how you got to that point, and then you realized that your spending was also sometimes rather extraordinary. You'd spend five figures on a vacation for a week. Now, maybe that's not unusual, but the number jumped out at me, and you were spending the way you didn't want to be on your way up to getting where you got.
Exactly.
And I thought, this sounds like chronic abusers sometimes, people who binge and purge or who have control issues. And I thought, I wonder if that's part of your life. And I wonder if that frightens you, having too much money.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So lifestyle inflation is certainly something everyone has to,
that's a good way to put it,
has to be aware of. I have more than enough money to spend $210,000 a year and be fine, honestly, but I
didn't. That's the number, right?
I spent $210,000 last year.
As you may know, right, to spend $200,000, you have to have made $350,000.
Yeah, I made quite a bit more than that actually last year. But I just didn't really like the person that I was becoming, right? So what, having that much money, I stopped thinking about money, right? I started just buying whatever I wanted. And honestly, I think it's both sort of culturally and also personally a little irresponsible. And I thought, you know, there's better things that I can do with this money than just, you know, buy everything that I want.
Well, you get to do whatever you want. It's your money. But not knowing you other than a newspaper story, I thought this sounds like two different people. The guy in the first half of the story and then the guy spending all the money.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think I was so frugal over that 5-year period that I binged a little bit, honestly, once I had the money. Now I've set, you know, the part of that post that I wrote, I've done a reset, right? So I actually was able to save 82% of my income in January. So I love hacking money and I love testing myself. It's all about optimization. And so that was actually, I'm happy I had that experience. At least I caught it. There's a lot of doctors that get out of residency, they get a big paying job, and lifestyle inflation just completely takes them over.
Yeah.
And I've kind of got that in check now.
Expenses rise to meet income, don't they? Or exceed income even when the income is high. So his blog is at millennialmoney.com. Millennialmoney.com. Give me a tip for people 20 or 70 years old, maybe more on the younger side. What advice do you have for folks?
Yeah, focus on daily money goals instead of longer term goals. So we actually, as humans, we're really not wired to think about money in the future. So when you get a huge number, like I need to save $2 million for retirement, it literally just doesn't compute in your mind. And also when you're saving money, a lot of people save in 2-week or 1-month increments. And then what happens is if you miss one of those 2-week periods, you naturally wait another 2 weeks. And so I always encourage everyone to have daily savings goals. I started saving $5 a day and then escalated that to $50 a day and then more. I still do it today, right? So if I miss one day, I can pick up the next day.
How do you save $50 a day? Do you prorate? Do you divide your salary or your income by the days of the week?
Nope. All my money goes into my checking account, and then I just have my Vanguard app. And when I'm waking up, reading the Wall Street Journal, having my coffee, I deposit money into my Vanguard
fund. You find some way to put $50 yep. every day into that account.
Right. It's actually considerably more now. But I determined that in order to retire at the age of 30 or be financially independent, I needed to save at least $50 a day from the time that I started.
Do people just want to slap you sometimes? You make it seem so easy. You make it seem so, well, if you just do this, then this will happen. And it's too simple.
Well, honestly, money is pretty simple. And I think a lot of the popular narrative out there is wrong. Things like you need to save 20% for a down payment is completely destructive. I only had 5% when I invested in my neighborhood and ended up making over $300,000 on my property that I wouldn't have been able to make if I had waited. Money's actually pretty simple. I think a lot of millennials are hacking it. I know more of my friends are between 30 and 35 and are retired than I know of all my parents, right? You're my dad's age and he's still working.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And not wanting to be. I think a lot of people my age in their mid to late 50s are working harder than they ever have and scratching their heads going, I was supposed to be on the downslope. It was supposed to be a lot easier than it is for a lot of us right now. Grant Sabatier is a Chicagoan, millennialmoney.com. You'll see his story in the Washington Post this weekend, too. He's got some book projects maybe in the works, so we haven't heard the last of you. Come visit with us again, okay?
Hey, thanks. This is a lot of fun, John. Appreciate
it. Nice to meet you.